Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 274.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 274. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. So, wow, the accelerator program is going and we're on to improv. What does that mean? Because I have a lot of plans in place to start these little mini boot camps that are going to be like 2 to 3 weeks long at a very, very affordable cost for people to join and work with me. Now, the accelerator program was one thing. I just started that, and that's going extremely well, but it's a long program. You know, it's long, it's tedious, and I don't want to make it sound like not fun, right? It's definitely fun, but long journeys, you know, they take a lot out of you, and sometimes you just want a quick little walk, right? You don't want to go on this two-hour hike. You want to just walk around the block, right? You just need a little air. And so that's exactly what these new improv and other boot camps will be. The boot camps are going to be on voicings, things like that. But that's one of the plans I have for the New Year's, which is going to be really, really awesome. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll be working on an improv specialty course now. So I'm on to the improv specialty course. Accelerator programs in the past, it's running, it's closed down. So if you're listening to this now and you've gone through my previous episodes, you'll know that I was talking about that a lot, but I'm on to improv. This particular episode is not going to be about improv. It's going to be about fattening up your arrangements in a very simple three-step process that I was actually teaching to the accelerator students. So it kind of goes hand in hand. But for my new improv specialty course, it's going to be a list, essentially a plan, a roadmap to elevate your improvisation, make drastic improvements. And it's going to contain so much information, but all sequential, so you know exactly what to do. You can kind of see where you're at in the broad spectrum of things, like see what's missing, see what holes you're missing. And the greatest part about this is you're going to know exactly what to work on, because a lot of times in improv, we're kind of left stranded. We don't really know what to do to make improvement. And a lot of times the answer that we're given, which I was given a lot of times, was just to explore, experiment, play, transcribe, very like general things. And I never quite knew how to take that information and really make progress. I was just like, oh, okay, well, what does that mean exactly? What does explore mean? What does experiment mean? Like, how do I practice experimentation? What are the exercises for exploration, right? How do I integrate transcriptions? How do I integrate lines? How do I make those my own? How do I play it on my own without just reading and regurgitating licks and lines? Because I didn't want to just play what Oscar Peterson was playing. I wanted to be able to make up my own stuff and improvise spontaneously based on the way that I wanted to express myself and play, right? And we're never really taught that. You know, think about the education you get about around surrounding improv. It can be so vague and nebulous. And that always bothered me because I was paying a lot of money. I paid a lot of money for lessons, you know, $70, $75, $80 an hour, you know, and I'd have a lesson a week. That's a lot of money. And I took lessons for years and I really never got that far. And, you know, unfortunately, because of the nebulous and non-specific and structured education, non-structured education that I got, like these generalities, these general comments, I just didn't know what to do with them, you know? And I felt like I wasted a lot of money. I don't want that to happen for you. That's my main philosophy in JPS always, is to give you very specific and meticulous, right? Surgical information that you can use and make progress with immediately today. And you know exactly what's practice, you know exactly what it's going to do for you, and more importantly, you know why you're doing it. You know why it's important for you to do this, and you know where it's going to get you, okay? Anyway, got off on a little soapbox there. But this particular episode is going to be really, really fun. A lot of cool stuff happening in Jazz Piano School. I'm revamping a lot of things. A lot of things are going to change in the new year for the better, And I really think it's going to benefit a lot of people. I've learned a lot from the Accelerator program, notably the most around accountability and setting up accountability for you as a Jazz Piano School member, or even if you're not a member, but you're thinking about becoming a member, and holding students accountable to make progress and how to do that in the online space. Because just giving self-study courses, it's not enough. And I've always known that, but it's been, you know, it's always a mix and balance of what to do to help you, right? Because students will be motivated in the beginning, they'll buy a self-study course, but then most students don't finish the course. They don't really apply the information. That's sad to me because I spend a lot of hours, I spend a lot of time, I work really hard to help you out, to help students out around the world. And sure, it's great. I mean, you know, that they purchase the course and they're motivated at first, but how do I really harness that motivation and keep it going, right? There needs to be an accountability element. And that's exactly what I'm working on. A lot of tools and systematic procedures in place to help your accountability, to help you practice, to help you stay on schedule, to help all that stuff. So you get in routine and you're following this path in an easy, simple way that's not overwhelming at all by any means, not stressful. That's very, very fun. Anyway, I'll get more into those details. Let's jump into this podcast now. It's going to be really, really fun, very easy, very short, and very applicable, okay, to all tunes. Yeah, it's going to be really, really awesome. So I have a cough in my throat. I want to get this out before I start. That feels better. Wow. You know when you get that like bug or chest buildup? I'm sure a lot of you are like, all right, stop this weirdo. What is he talking about? Here we go. Let's dive right into this podcast. Here we go. All right, so the first step is going to be developing your framework. And so this is a great tune, Polka Dots and Moonbeams. That's kind of the first four measures there. So essentially what we're doing in this is there's going to be three easy steps, and this is going to be a very short podcast. We all love short in this digital age, right? The first step is to develop your framework for the tune, any tune that you're playing. Now in faster tunes, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to do this, but in ballads, it's going to be very, very easy. So the melody and bass note is essentially part A of the first step. So you obviously, you just want to pick out your bass notes. Right, so I'm just playing the bass notes to the tune. So essentially it's this 1-6-2-5-1. Very, very easy tune. Beautiful, beautiful tune. But how do we start to spice this up? So we want to have this framework. Bass note, melody, and shells. The shells are the third and the seventh of our chords. So for example, an F major 7 is the first chord. We want to get the third and seventh in our arrangement, okay, before we start fattening up the chords, thickening up chords. Now, in this particular case, the melody actually starts on the upbeat. So 1 and 2 and 3. 1 and 2. So when this happens, we don't actually have to play the melody with our harmonization or with our fat chord, our thickened up chord. We can just start with the essentials, what we need. So we need bass notes and shells, and then I'm gonna play the melody. So I might play this first, and then I go on. Now for the D minor chord, the melody does fall on the downbeat with the chord, so I'm gonna line my melody up with, again, my bass note and shells. Now here, my bass note's down here, I've chosen to use a 1 in 10 spread, and then play my other shell here. Now you'll notice I'm splitting my shells between both hands. What does that mean? It means my left hand has one shell and my right hand has one shell. So my left hand in this particular variation is playing the third. My right hand is playing the seventh of the chord, the D minor seventh chord. My pinky has the melody here. So again, from the beginning, splitting the shells here, splitting, right? And then I continue up the melody. Now it's okay, you can hold on to these melodies with the shells. So if you play this and then you move your hand, just because you lift your hand, the pedal's still ringing out that harmony. and then I'll lift up a little bit on my pedal, and then again, bass note, shell, shell, melody. I keep going down with my melody here, and then again, bass note, shell, shell, melody. That's your framework. So what I teach my students and all my students at Jazz Piano School, all the members, all the accelerator members, all the programs that I run, all the information, this is your main framework you want to do to start voicing all tunes, especially ballads, slower tunes. The medium to up-tempo tunes are going by so fast, you don't really have time to create a lot of these spreads, so there's other methodology. But if you're playing anything from about, you know, 50, 55 BPM all the way up to like even about like 110, 115-ish, maybe you can start to get away with these thickening procedures, this three easy step process to thicken up your chords, right? And again, this is all you want to do. Just go through tunes. See if you can do this. This is really your first step. If you can't do this for a tune, then this is what you need to work on before you start adding all that other fancy stuff. So step one, bass note, shells, and melody. Bass note and shells, the melody's on the upbeat, so I'm going to play the second. Bass note, shells, and melody. Bass note, shells, and melody. Bass note, shells, and melody. That's it. Now, you'll be surprised, even if you're a beginner player, this is going to make your solo piano sound gorgeous. Like, a lot of the times, the melody actually is going to be an extension. For example, here, right over the G minor 7, the melody is actually a 9 over the chord. So this sounds gorgeous, right? Now, we are missing a couple components, which I'm going to get to in step 2. Okay, but this already sounds gorgeous. You can start to play for your friends and your family and even yourself and just be like, wow, okay, I like this, you know? This is fun. Step number 2, moving right along. The next step is to fill in the space or add chord tones, okay, to the gaps or just if you want to thicken up some space. So what do I mean by that? Let's check out the first chord here. So we have one root and shells. Now we don't have the 5 anywhere. So we want to ask ourselves, kind of the first thing is to ask ourselves, can we add the 5 anywhere? So we could add it here. That gets a little muddy down in this area. I'm going to show you where we can utilize the 5 up here a little bit more, but down this low, it's going to be a little bit too muddy. So the 5 is the first step. Obviously the 5th is a chord tone of the chord. Now your chord tones are just 1, 3, 5, 7. The other option we can use to thicken up the chord is to double any chord tones. So I might add the root here. That sounds pretty nice, actually. I don't really mind that. That sounds pretty nice. You know, it may not be for everyone or your ear may not be used to it, but it could use an extension here, the 9. That's in the 3rd step. I'm going to leave that out for now. But let's say we just do this. So that'd be my new voicing. I've added the root in again, which most people probably wouldn't think to add. Here's our framework. Now let's check this out, right? This is a better example to add chord tones, notably the 5th first, right? This is kind of the step-by-step procedure you should ask yourself. Can I add the 5th? Do I want to add other chord tones, like the root, the 3rd, the 7th, double anything, okay? So I could add the 5th here. This is going to sound nice because we have a gap here between the 3rd and the 7th. So adding the 5 here would create a nice 3-note spread. You hear the difference there? So here's this one. And here's this, right? It just adds a little bit more balance, a little bit more texture. Now, this one's still great, too. It's just thinner. It's a little thinner, and it still works. It's still pretty, but this is a little thicker, a little bit more balanced, and depending upon the sound you're going for, either of them work, but this is just a step-by-step process you can use to thicken and fatten up your chords, okay? Now, I can also now add any other chord tones I want to double, so maybe I add the root again here. The root isn't always bad. We're taught in a lot of areas of jazz as a beginner, like, oh, rootless, don't add the root, let the bass player play the root. But the root actually adds a lot. Check this out. That sounds nice. I like that. Here's without the root. It's a little thinner, thicker, right? We're just doubling the chord tone. So our new arrangement would sound like this. If I add the root. Now here's our framework. So again, check out the gap between my the third of the chord and the 9, right? You have this big open spread gap here. And most of the time, we want to add and fill in our chord tones, the 5th and any other chord tones with our right hand. For the most part, we're not doing much with our left hand. Our left hand will either be like 1 and 7 or 1 and 10, right? Or if you're more advanced, you can do both shells and bass note with one hand, and you'll have more fingers available here with your right hand to fill more extensions and colors later on. But I don't want to get into that just yet. So here I'm going to add the 5 in the middle, and I could double the 7 here. So that creates a beautiful voicing right there that's really well balanced. Again, framework, root, shells, and melody, addition of the 5, and doubling the 7 here. Really cool, really nice. Now here, I could add the 5 here and the root here. Now, that's step 2. If I played through tunes like that, it's gonna sound great, but still a little bland, because what are we missing? Colors. We're missing colors and extensions, right? So the next step in thickening up this process is, do we wanna add extensions? The 9, the 11s, the sharp 11s, the flat 13s, the sharp 9s, the flat 9s, you know, all that gravy, that good stuff, the spices that go on top of food, right? So we have this, okay? And I could add the 9 here, which I was saying before. So it would sound like this. Excuse me. That's a thick chord. And it could work if, you know, you enjoy that sound. Like if you play it, remember, if you play things delicately, they'll blend together more like voices. Like if you have 5 voices and one person singing super loud, it probably is not going to blend that well. So if I go, you know, it's like, oh, that's kind of harsh. But if I do this, much better, right? Much better. And then just a nice soft palette. And then I play my melody. Now here, I added the 5 in the root. Now what I'm going to do here is, because at this point, we can actually take away chord tones if we want, because we want to free up some fingers. So maybe I want to take out the root and I want to play my 9 here with my 4th finger. That's gorgeous. That's a really gorgeous sound, right? So I've added the 9, I've taken away the root. That's totally okay. I still could play the root here though if I want. That would be a very thick chord, a very fat chord, right? So, and I like that too, I like both. Let's go a step further. Let's add the 11th down here with my thumb. I use this a lot. Pro players use this a lot, playing 2 notes with their thumb to get even more extensions in, thicken up the chord even more. Look at that, huh? I have 3 whole steps and then 4 whole steps. Isn't that crazy? That's a thick chord, right? So I'm adding the 11 down here. That's gorgeous. I'm going to keep that. So we have this. That's pretty. That's very pretty, right? Now again, we had this before. Okay, this is over the minor, but let's check some things out. Again, we don't need to have our 5. We don't need to have our chord tones from step 2. So at step 3, if you want to reassess your voicing or your arrangement, that's completely okay. So let me take these out for the moment. Let's just check out our framework. So again, you don't need the 5 and you don't need the 7. That's just like for step 2, if you're a basic and a beginner or intermediate player, you don't really know extensions. That's a great way to just arrange tunes. But if you're a more advanced player, let me add the 11 here. That's really cool. I could add the 13 here. That's really cool too, right? So that's a really nice voicing there. And I already have the 9 on top, so I'm good here. I think I like this. So I have the 11, the 13, and the 9. 3 extensions over this minor 7 chord. Now again, here, this is what I had before. This is pretty bland. Like, we definitely need some stuff in here, right? So I think a really good thing to add here would be the flat 9 right here. And again, you're looking for spaces. Like, the sharp 11 would be weird because I don't want to add it above the melody. I could add it here. That sounds pretty out. It's not really a good balanced voicing. So like I have this space in between my 7 to add a natural 9 if I want. That's a little, you know, that's a nice. Remember, your natural extensions are more on the calmer side, but here's my flat 9. And then it kind of resolves to the natural 9. I like that. That's kind of cool. So you have the flat 9 and then I'm going to lift it to play the melody, right? So that's another cool thing you can do. If you add an extension but the melody goes to a natural extension, you can look for that in tunes. So the third step is just to add extensions into your arrangement. And again, remember, you can remove fifths and chord tones if you've added them back in step 2 to get more extensions in. Like if you want to remove some of those and you're an advanced player and you know how to add extensions, just remove some that you added in step 2. Okay. Or if you're an advanced player, you can jump from step one to step two, and then you don't really need that stuff. But if the five is a good tool to add in some situations. So here we go. Here's our full arrangement that I just created. Woo, that's so pretty. I love that. Now again here. Ooh, that's pretty. Very, very pretty. Let me play it one more time. That's very, very pretty. See? So that took about, what, 8-7 minutes for that first four bars? And gorgeous. That's exactly how I would play it if I was playing a solo piano gig, you know? Obviously, a little bit more textural things and, you know, fancy, like, you know, just things. But like at the core root of it, just with extensions and a beautiful arrangement, man, you can create, you can do anything you want with those three basic steps to fatten and thicken up your voicing arrangements to any tune, right? Step number one, put your framework in through all tunes that you want to use this for, bass note, shells, and melody. Step number two, ask yourself, do I want to add the five or double any chord tones? And step number three, add in extensions. And if you want, you can pull out the five and the chord tones to add even more extensions, to make more fingers in your right hand available for you to play more colors and extensions. Okay. Hope you guys enjoyed that, and I'll talk to you soon.